Well, I'm pleased to come and talk about NRSP 10 resources for translational tree fruit research, particularly because this is the area that I work in, and specifically translational genetics and tree fruit, and NRSP 10 and the underlying databases have been amazing for the sorts of breakthroughs that we can make over the last, at least since 2003. So NRSP 10 houses data and tools for, as Dori was saying, for citrus crops and pome fruit and stone fruit crops, which are really valuable to the US. So no wonder that this project is funded and up and running. So if you're working on any of these crops, then you're very well served by NRSP 10. And if you work on one of the other ones, well, these are really the model crops for ways we can move forward with tools and handling the data. And talking about handling the data, really what we're talking about here in translational research is taking the equivalent of what mining would come up with, a whole bunch of ore, and then identifying and extracting the jewels from that, so then craftsmen can come in and take those and craft them into great things. So the equivalent there is the data that comes out of biological experiments, and then that leads to two major types of outcomes. Often we think about the genetic side of things, but there's also usually we think about one or the other, but there's the genes and expression networks in blue, the blue circle there, that are underlying physiological processes and conditions. And then we've got the loci and the combinatorial networks that underlie genetic influences on breeding traits. Okay, so those are two different things, but they are both well supported by NRSP 10 and the translational research that it supports. And so the outcomes of those are, as shown there, cultural manipulation on the physiological side and new cultivars from the breeding side. That's the output of, you know, simple little arrows there, but, you know, the arrow on the bottom there is breeding, which is a massive thing, to convert those outcomes into new cultivars. And then similarly, it's a big effort, that little arrow that leads to the cultural manipulation. So it is all for practical horticultural purposes. So our improved understanding of plant systems and resource stewardship that we get from the outcomes of the translational research is what we can use to convert the current cultivars and germplasm and our current understanding of plant and plant environment systems into improved crop production. And so that is crop improvement. I've got etiology up there as well as part of the cultural manipulation because, for example, in the citrus genome database, there's now the genomes of the pathogens as well. Maybe the GDR will increasingly include that too. And so the plant and its environment, in this case, the pathogen, can also be investigated. And I will focus here on the red part. So the blue was the physiology. So this is the genetic part is what I'll talk about here. That's my specialty. So NRSP 10 supports translational genetics. So there are lots of tools then that make up what's available in these databases, and a whole bunch of them shown here for converting the data into the outcome of trying to understand and target the genetic influences. And not all of these are needed, depending on what your purpose is and what the biological basis is of what you're looking at. So there's elucidation of genetic relationships, developing SNP arrays, identifying causal genes underlying traits of interest, constructing linkage maps, trait locus discovery, and converting trait locus discoveries into locus-specific DNA tests. All of those things are supported. They have tools in the NRSP 10 project and its underlying databases. So I'll give you an example here of fruit size and cherry, a typical example of where someone would want to use the tools. So in this case, fruit size can be increased by cultural practices, that's fine, but it would be much more efficient to grow large fruited cultivars. That works when there are large genetic components to the variation, and that has been observed among cultivars and other germplasm in cherry. And so it leads to the question then, on the upstream side of the big green arrow before, is can the genetic factors underlying fruit size in cherry be identified and extracted for application in breeding, so that it can impact commercial production, and NRSP 10 resources can help. Okay, so for example, if QTLs had been published on this, then getting onto the genome database for Rosacea, or just doing a search on the GDR for this, it can be identified where this is in the genome using CMAP tools. The primers can be, primer sequences can be blasted against the peach genome. In this case, the peach genome serves very nicely as the proxy genome for sweet cherry. So it's really handy for cherry geneticists to have the peach genome in there. Or the DNA sequences can be obtained around aligned genes or markers for those regions of the genome as shown by the map. Another way, if there wasn't a QTL available, if it's just the peach genome, getting into the peach genome itself, then click on that and could look up particular genes that might be considered to be part of that trait, contributing to that trait. In this case, the small writing there says cell number. Okay, so then the sequences can be identified and downloaded and primers designed on that. So clicking down the bottom right there and it'll come up with a list of a whole bunch of sequences, click and download those. We can exploit comparative genomics. So this is exploiting that information across the crops. And so in this case, maybe there's nothing on peach, there's nothing on cherry, we can go to apple. And fruit size is what's in the red box here, so we can search in other crops whether there are markers associated with the trait of interest. Or we could search in those other crops for genes that are related to the trait of interest. And then find the genome position of those markers or genes. And then there's also this lovely tool of Syntony Viewer that allows us to check if the genomic region of interest is conserved among these related crops. And what's coming soon is to be able to do the Syntony Viewer of the Rosacea crops with each of those with citrus as well, or the orange genome, right? Citrus sinensis. So allowing the comparison of apples with oranges. More NRSP10 tools are available in the citrus genome database, and there's a whole bunch of really great things here in the citrus database that I'm really looking forward to getting into the Rosacea one as well. Some great tools. As Dorrie was saying, it's been newly updated, and there are lots of great things in here. So first of all, one of the things is to search and download the information in tables that are there for maps, markers, QTLs, genes, transcripts. This is also available in the GDR. Search sequence information and download all of that in Excel and FASTA formats. The map viewers are a great thing. Look forward to this in Rosacea. That allows the easy viewing of map regions, and there's these really cool draggable zoom settings, and you can define the colors so you don't have to put up with whatever those colors are, and you can rainbow it up like I would love to do. There's JBrowse and BLAST. These are nicely connected in the citrus genome database. So the BLAST results have a link out to the genome sequence via JBrowse or the CDS protein entry in the CGD. And also, it's all connected up with citrus sites, so the metabolic pathways. And so you can view these pathways in the citrus sinensis or the clementina genomes. So NRSP10 folks are open to requests. And so I'm taking the opportunity now to do some requests, especially a big one. So if you caught my talk yesterday in the fruit breeding session all about experiencing breeding genomes via haplotype mosaics, well, this is really what I think would be a great need and would be a huge breakthrough in the future. If breeders can be enabled via software to experience the genomes of their breeding germplasm. And so an example of a haplotype mosaic is shown here for the cultivar Rainier. Underlying this is so much translational research that's been done in developing SNP arrays, running the SNP arrays, curating all that data, QTL analyses, all of that sort of thing goes into all of this. And I won't go into all the details of what this is showing, but you can get a feel for it just looking at this. You've got the background of the ancestry and the foreground of trait loci. So what we really need are software programmers, desperately wanted to do some great things. So in terms of haplotype mosaics to allow breeders to experience their breeding genomes, then software could enable breeders to view the genomes of their material and also play with the possibilities of what could be crafted. I think that's the particularly interesting part of it. And to, for example, track interesting segments through the genomes. And He is showing the malus floribunda that's been introgressed, segments of those that have been introgressed into PRI breeding germplasm, coming on down through here, through the pedigree. So we can do this now, but what would be great is to have the software to be able to routinely do this, for anyone to be able to do this, not just me playing with Excel. So I'd like to acknowledge all the great folks in Dorrie Main's bioinformatics team and so many other folks, many of which who are in the room here, that have worked over the many years to develop all of this, and the funding agencies, especially our USDA, and the whole bioinformatics community out there. So if I have any time, I'll take some questions. Oh, yes. And the Rosebreed 3 is all about translational genetics, and we are looking for input for anything that any of you have. If you'd like to be involved or you think there's some problems that we can address, then please fill us out. We've got one-page simple handouts, which are also over with all the other brochures on the back table there. I gave you just enough time to think of a question. Yep, it says up top, please return to me, Senya, or Nala. Yep.
Or email to...
Yep, you can email to Amy Izoni, yeah.